Now we're going to look at our government, and we're going to look at some statistics, and we'll look at the U.S. Senate. 27 senators are Catholic. You would agree, we talked about this, we would give them the gospel, right? 3 senators are Mormons. You would agree, we would give them the gospel. 11 Episcopalian and Methodist. I mean, that's that Methodist church. I mean, that's a tough number. You really don't know. It's hard to know anyone's heart. I know when I see a label, I know if you're labeling yourself as a Catholic or a Mormon, I know that you believe in a works-based salvation. Episcopalians, Methodists, I'm not sure, but there's 11. 9 are Jewish. They don't believe that Christ is the Messiah. 6 are Lutheran. That's faith plus works. Sacraments get you to heaven. Church of Christ, they believe water baptism saves you. Quakers, they believe in good works. The United Church of Christ, they're complete liberals, that United Church of Christ. There's 1 Buddhist, 2 COC liberals. 6 won't even specify, and 1 is part of the New Apostolic Reformation that we talked about last week. So when I added all those numbers up, I'm just doing quick numbers, I don't know how hard and fast they are, but when I add these up, we ended up with at least 70 out of the 100 senators are not professing to be born again Christians. What's that percentage? That means 30% of our U.S. senators at best, 30% at best, are saved. We didn't talk about the 30% that claim Baptist or non-denom or Protestant where we can actually hear their testimony. But if we just go with that number, it's a generous 30%. Would you say that the U.S. Senate is a Christian Senate? Not by statistics. We would have to witness to at least 70 of them. The House of Representatives, there's 435 in the House. 123 are Catholic, 6 are Mormon, 3 are Muslim, 26 are Jewish, 43 Episcopalian and Methodist, 16 Lutherans, 1's a Seventh-day Adventist, 4 Church of Christ, 3 Universalists, 2 Hindus, 1 agnostic, 1 Buddhist, 16 won't specify, 88 are unspecified Protestants. I don't know what that means, but let's take half. Let's just use 44 as just a number to go with, at least for this afternoon, that aren't saved. And then you have 2 that are part of the New Apostolic Reformation. That leaves us with the numbers 291 out of the 435 House of Representatives. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's 291 right there. That means we're left with, I did the math, 33% at best in the House of Representatives, which would be considered born-again Christians. Again, these aren't hard and fast numbers. I'm just trying to give us a lens drawn back, and what are we looking at? So last week when we did some numbers, we the people, 26.5%. Our... By the way, the Speaker of the House is absolutely New Apostolic Reformation, one of the strongest voices for the New Apostolic Reformation, an absolute heretical group. You can do your own deep dive on this. I'm just giving you the broad lens view and the main points. You can deep dive into the details if you'd like. So that tells me 26.5%, we the people, we could say are Christian. The Senate, maybe 30%. Christian. The House, maybe 33% Christian. That tells me we're not dealing with a we the people where the majority are saved. We got a lot of work to do. That tells me the government needs the same thing that the we the people need. Why? Because they're individual souls too. And they're not saved. Look, we're in a mess. I want to circle back to the New Apostolic Reformation for a minute, and then we'll get on to some other points. You can look these things up on your own, but Lance Wallnew, Peter Wagner, Bill Johnson, he's part of Bethel, these are 3 of the leading false prophets of the New Apostolic Reformation. I'm bringing the New Apostolic Reformation back because although we're only identifying four in the U.S. Senate, the House of Representatives, and Speaker of the House, this is one of the fastest growing groups. They embrace the Seven Mountain Mandate. Now, the Seven Mountain Mandate was actually started in 1975 by Bill Bright and also by Francis Schaeffer. And we talked about that this morning. They received a vision from God. Okay, you're done. You're done. I'm turning you off. They received a vision from God to take over seven areas of society. We talked about this last week. Family, religion, education, media, entertainment, business, and government. So they will make fun of people that believe that the church would be raptured. Well, you Christians, you're just sitting in church and you're just waiting for the rapture to happen. No, we're not. We're not. There may be a lot of Christians that are doing that, but we're not. We're looking for a blessed hope, and we're getting busy with our Father's business. You'll hear phrases like, let's bring heaven's kingdom to rule on earth. That is code for dominion theology, kingdom now theology. And it is there's a big push to insert this in our government. It's a false religious view that many from the right are embracing. Now, I don't do this a lot when I'm preaching, but I'm going to do it this afternoon. Now, Sister Caroline gave me this, I think, 5 years ago. And this is an excellent book, The Coming Kingdom by Andy Wood. Now, he's not King James, but he's got the beliefs of the King James Bible in this book. I mean, this guy nails it. And if you want to learn about the Kingdom Now theology, and all that, this is an excellent book, The Coming Kingdom by Andy Wood. And it's got some meat to it, too. It's an excellent, excellent book, and you can get a lot of help from it. I know I did. Made me think about some things that I didn't think about before. You know how you read through a verse and you got it, but then you read, oh, wait, there's something more to that. It's one of those books. It's heavy, but it's good. So, Ephesians 2. We there? I think I asked you to turn there. We should be there. Why is kingdom theology and kingdom now theology wrong? We're not taking back the kingdom from Satan. We're not. Because Jesus said that he is going to take back the kingdom from Satan when he comes back on his second coming. If you've been here long enough, you know that I say this over and over. On Christ's first coming, he came as what? Suffering servant. On his second coming, he will come as a ruling, reigning king, and he will take over by power. Nobody's stopping it. Theocracy, amen. Nobody's stopping it. Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That be us if we're saved. Wherein in time past ye walked according to what? The course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So what is happening now isn't Christ's kingdom on earth. What is happening now is that children of disobedience are under the control, the dominion of Satan until what happens to them? They get regenerated. Okay? They get regenerated and now they're quickened. But before you got saved and before I got saved, who had dominion over us? The Lord. Not the Lord. Satan. He directed our path. Now, who has dominion over us? Who's our Lord? Jesus Christ. Adam fumbled the ball. God relinquished temporary control to Satan on the power of this world. We can go all through the Old Testament and run all the way through towards the end of Revelation, and we will see this is a battle for the kingdom. Always has been, always will be. For the devil. He wants the kingdom. We aren't bringing it in, and we're not bringing it in through politics. That's absolutely false. It's dominion theology. We are to bring in souls to be saved, and so they are placed in the church, and now the Holy Spirit rules and governs their life. Amen. Amen. All right. When you and I see or hear the Faith and Freedom Coalition or Turning Point USA with Charlie Kirk, it's New Apostolic Dominion Theology stuff. That's all it is. Research it yourself. You will find the Rise Up, The Road to Peace and Prosperity, Presentation of the Seven Mountains of Influence, Why Patriots Need to Rise Up and See Our Land Blessed. Remember, we talk about that land being restored in 2 Chronicles, that promise God made to Israel? Our land isn't going to be restored until Christ comes back and heals the land. Now Christ is in the business of healing souls. We talked about that in detail before. By the way, that was put on by a church. And so they'll bring these guys, these political activists, into the church to try to win church members to political activism and say, well, what are you just sitting in here waiting for the rapture for? Well, I'm not. But why don't you just sit in here and learn the Bible so you can actually think and live and govern right? I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm trying to be totally truthful. Have you heard this? Have you heard this? This will be chanted in one way or another. We stand in the midst of the seven mountains. We decree and declare that the kingdom of God shall come, that Jesus will rule and reign. But he's not going to rule and reign now. He's not. Not on land. Not on governmental control. We already looked at the government is not a high percentage of saved people. So how is that even going to work? But one day he's going to come back and he's going to rule land. He's going to govern land and nobody's going to stop him. They say, if someone from New Apostolic Reformation hears this, they'll say, well, you're being too critical and you're focusing on minor theological differences. But they're not minor theological differences. They'll say, well, you're siding with the radical left. No, I'm absolutely against the radical left and everything they stand for. But we don't fix the radical left, the authoritarian control of the radical left, with the authoritarian control of the radical right. Okay, so it's not like if you point out an error in one group, it's not like you're for the opposing group. I can't imagine why anyone would want to fly any other flag than the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. I don't understand that. I fly the Christian flag. I'm a born-again Christian. And I am not going to just agree with you when you tell me you're a Christian, because by what you believe, you're not a Christian. I don't want to tell God's people to do something that God never told them to do. Kingdom to the capital. It's false gospel, New Apostolic Reformation stuff. Look it up. It's New Apostolic Reformation. It's political prosperity, and it's taking dominion instead of making disciples and witnessing for Jesus. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. You remember the Passover celebration when Jesus rode in on a big war horse, you know, like a real strong power? Oh, except no, he didn't. He rode in on a donkey. Except, oh wait, it was not even like, it was a colt. Yeah, that looks real powerful, Jesus. Jesus, God, who was manifest in a body of flesh, rides into Jerusalem on the colt of an ass, a baby donkey, A grown man, the Messiah, rides into Jerusalem like that. It really didn't look like a big political takeover to me when I read the text. Do you think it looked like this big political takeover from Jesus? Now let me ask you a question. Do you think Pilate ever rode into Jerusalem? I bet you Pilate did ride into Jerusalem. You want to talk about having some chariots. You want to talk about having some war horses. You want to talk about having some military might. Man, I'll tell you what, when Pilate rode in Jerusalem, woo, man, the big man's in town. He's here. It's power. It's political takeover. When Jesus runs into town, wasn't like that. You know what happened when Jesus rode into town in Passover that day? The nation of Israel, you know what they were wearing? MAGA hats. That's what they were wearing. Make Israel great again. Come on, Jesus. Make Israel great again. We want you to set up the kingdom. Come on, Jesus. That's why they said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Jesus, are you going to sit on David's throne and rule and reign? And he's like, no, I'm not doing that until I come back. And I'm going to sit on David's throne for 1,000 years. But come on, Hosanna, Son of David. Come on, we want you to rule and reign. We want you to be king. I told you, fellas, I'm not here to do that now. It's not kingdom now. I'm here to die for your soul. And that's exactly what he did. Amen. And Jesus ends up weeping over that city. You know why he was weeping over the city? Make Israel great again. Make Israel great again. And he's weeping over the city because they didn't get it. They didn't get it. I'm not here to take over the kingdom now. They didn't want a humble servant. They didn't want him dying on the cross for their sins. They wanted him on a powerful war horse so he would take over. And he said, I'm not here to do that, boys. You know what Israel didn't want? They didn't want when Jesus said, I am the way. They didn't want Jesus' way. You know, that's why they released Barabbas, by the way. Give us Barabbas. You know what he was in jail for? Sedition. You know what sedition is? Rebellion against the law. They wanted Jesus to come in, and they didn't want Jesus' way. They wanted Barabbas' way. Take over and set up the kingdom now. Jesus, like, I'm not here to do that now. But the people wanted the Barabbas way, not the Jesus way. You know what? Don't give us Jesus. Give us Barabbas. He rebels against the law. It was about the way. They didn't want the way. What bothers me more than anything else is Christians, born-again Christians, that will go into a charismatic frenzy. USA, USA, make America great again, make America great again. And you ask them, hey, would you come out and knock on some doors and try to help us tell people about Jesus? Would you stand out on a street corner? I need someone to help me preach. I preach 4 messages a week. When I go out in public, I'm worn out by people. Would you come out and say, Jesus saves, Jesus saves? No, we want Barabbas' way. We want to take over. It's a mess. It's a mess. The churches aren't growing because they're being deceived by the Barabbas way, not the Jesus way. I'm telling you, when Jesus comes back, ain't nothing nobody's going to do about that. He's ready to come. You're going to have yourself a war horse. Nobody's stopping him. Nobody's stopping him. I'm just thankful that we're going to come and rule and reign with him. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16. The Bible says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. If you and I are going to be preachers of the gospel, and we're going to be men and women of the gospel, you young people, you're going to be preaching the truth of the gospel, sharing the truth of the gospel. I want to remind you, you're not going to have any glory because all of it belongs to God. And the gospel is glorious. That's why we preach it, because he's so glorious. It says, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. and we diminish the power of the gospel, and we push it aside like a side burner dish, and we say, yeah, that may be the most important thing, but, and we never do the most important thing. The gospel is what's going to change individual souls. The gospel is what is going to penetrate the heart of our elected officials. And I'm not called to take over a community, a nation, a country. I am called to preach the word and be instant in season and get the gospel of Jesus Christ out into the hearts, minds, and souls. Christian nationalists will hook you with this. This is the last chance battle narrative. Do something that's bigger than yourselves and don't sit on the sidelines. Well, my identity is in Christ, and I'm not sitting on the sidelines. And I'm going to obey Him, and I can afford to offend or be disfellowshipped by some people who aren't even Christians. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is offending my Savior. I'm going to do what He told me to do. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, we'll wrap up his thought, then we'll get to the message. You kids ready? Oh, you're going to get it in a minute. So pay attention. Pay attention. Jeremiah 23, they want this kingdom now theology, and they use Old Testament passages to do it. This would be a good one. Watch this. Jeremiah 23, verse 1, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Wow. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. In Jeremiah's day, you know what the problem was? Not the politicians. The problem was the pastors. The pulpit has lost power because of the pastors. Look at verse 16, Jeremiah 23, verse 16. Bible says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision out of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Well, I saw a vision. You're wrong. It wasn't out of the mouth of the Lord. It was out of your heart. And that's what these guys are fooling everybody on. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. I, a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off. This whole thing is about the people refusing to be governed by the word of God, and the pastors and the prophets refusing to be governed by the word of God. That is our nation's problem. They're not going to be governed by the word of God. That's why we have a church, and we're part of that church, and amen. Amen. Okay, this will get touchy-feely. Here's the other problem we have. Well, we want to make our nation a Christian nation. Okay. Well, a quarter of the Senate is ruled by women. 30% of the House of Representatives is ruled by women. And the Vice President of the United States is a woman, and we could end up having a woman as the President of the United States. That's a problem. I love women. I'm married to a woman. That's the marriage, a man and a woman. I love my wife. Amen. My wife isn't the co-pastor. She's not the pastor. She has no pastor is nowhere in any letters after her name. Because she knows her role and she's not oppressed because of it. She's uplifted because of it. All women are uplifted by the Lord and the Lord's ways when we get in His will and get in the lane He wants us in. And according to the Word of God, women, you're just as saved as men are. No difference. We're going to the same heaven. We are gifted. We can be greatly used equally by God. But God has different roles for men and women. In the book of Isaiah, go to the book of Isaiah. We'll go back. Who wants to make the, make Israel great again, make America great again? You want your nation to be run by Christian nationalists? Well, let's see how this formed out in Isaiah. Watch what God said in Isaiah 3. Some of you know this verse. You know where I'm going. Isaiah chapter 3. People are being oppressed because of the way things are being ruled. And in Isaiah chapter number 3, verse number 12, it says, "As for my people," that's the children of Israel. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." They don't want God's way. So when you're saying you're a Christian, but you're doing something that God never called you to do as a Christian, you're either confused or you're not really a Christian. Our nation needs a man as a president. Okay? We do. We need a strong man to portray strong leadership. That's biblical. And the nation got in trouble because they had children and women ruling over them. You think Russia's ever going to have a woman? Or no. They're not. And I'm not making fun of women. I'm simply saying God figured this thing out, and He understands, and he wants us to understand there's different roles. Grown men in America are being ruled and governed by their wives. The home is out of order. That means the community is going to be out of order, the state's going to be out of order, and the nation is going to be out of order. The more homes that we have where the children are running mama. How do we get our nation fixed? Well, we stop saying, "Lord, can you bless my out-of-balance life where I really don't want to listen to what you have to say? Lord, I just want you to bless me." When we repent from that and we start getting individual homes right, then the nation will get right. I want to land in Colossians 3 as we close out. Isaiah 3 clearly states that God doesn't want women ruling. Yet, almost a quarter or 30% of our legislature is ruled by women. Colossians 3. The bigger issue is how we got there. Homes are falling apart one address at a time. It's like, let's make... All right, here we go. Colossians 3. We'll make this our last point here. Work through these final verses. Colossians 3, verse 15. The Bible says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful." As an individual Christian, what rules you? Is it the peace of God? That's what it should be. Verse 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." What governs you? Is it the word of Christ that dwells in you? That along with the peace of God, is what governs us. You want our nation right? We need individuals who are being ruled by the word of Christ and by the peace of God. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. Verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. How do we start getting our nation right? Doing everything that God tells us to do. And not making stuff up and telling people, well, God wants you to do this, but He never wanted you to do this. And just smacking a Christian label on it. Verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Well, if we had wives who would obey this verse in our nation, and the wives woke up and they honestly read this and say, you know what? I don't have any problem submitting to my husband. You want to secure the border, but you can't keep your home secure. You're all for gun rights. You're all for all of that nationally, but you won't get stuff right at home. You want all this stuff, all this blessing, and God says, can you start with just submitting to your husband? Well, no, I just want some blessings, Lord. The thing starts at home. Wives, getting their hearts right. And ladies, maybe not the ladies here, but if someone's listening online, if you're listening to conservative radio all day, it's not going to help the relationship you have with your husband. It's not. Colossians 3, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. So, let me get this straight. You want all this protection and you want all this care nationally and you want all these tax breaks and you want everything secure on the border and you want all that. Great, I want it too. But God says, if you're a tyrant at home and you want all these blessings from God for our nation, yet you're a tyrant and your wife has no safety, she has no protection, she has no security, God says, you're a wimp. You're a wimp of a man. You're worried about the nation. If you're worried so much about the nation, get your home right. When we get more homes right, the community gets right. And then the nation gets right. We got wimps in the home. And I'm just telling you, women are sick and tired of staying home because they got to live with some ogre, some tyrant. And because they can't be protected at home, they might as well go get a job and get, you know, medical and protection and all the stuff that goes on with it. Because she's sick and tired. What does it say? It says, husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Because she's sick and tired of the bitter looks and the bitter talk and the bitterness. So look, I don't blame them. I'm not saying it's right. It's all wrong. What I'm saying is we got to stop with this nation stuff and start getting our homes right. Home, the home. Okay, young people, I told you this is your time to shine. It's it. Ready? If there's one thing I want you to listen to, it's this part of the message. You want to go by the Bible, right? That's why you're here. All right, read this with me. Why don't we all read it together? Verse number 20, Colossians 3, verse 20. Let's all read it together. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Moms and dads, if we don't teach our kids to obey and please Him, we are not. Stop worrying about the country. Get your home right. And you know what it is, young people? Look up this way. Your mom says no. And no means what? No means no. And you can ask her five times and the answer is still going to be no. And then you can go to dad and play the victim card. Oh, mom said no. Can you? No, no. You are not a victim. Mom said no. She's teaching you to obey. Well, I don't like that. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. Too bad. You're going to learn what it means to obey. Well, I don't want to. Okay, go to school and get the tar beat out of you then. Because the kids on the playground aren't going to put up with your snotty attitude. They're going to punch you in the neck. I taught martial arts for 16 years, and the kid that was getting bullied, I told him, take the kid out. Don't let him push you around like that. He needs to learn that being a stinker brings pain. Well, I don't like that. Okay, get a job and get fired then. I don't like that. Okay, then have the police arrest you. If you don't learn to obey now and please God now, don't be surprised when the cops give you a wood shampoo and then stuff your hands behind your back, lock you up, and throw you in jail. Why? Because disobedience brings pain. And if dads and moms aren't going to bring that consequence to their kids, don't be surprised when they're in jail. Don't be surprised when the kids at baseball at Little League take them behind the dugout and rough them up a little bit. If you're not doing it at home, it's going to happen somewhere else. Discipline. Obedience. It's not a dad that's a harsh nutcase. It's not a mom that's just strung out on something. No, it's a mom that loves her child enough to say, quit it now. Quit it. Quit it. Amen? Amen? In the back, we get an amen. Amen. All right, we got one. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Well, my kid's special. He's not. He's a sinner. I've spent a lot of time raising kids. My wife and I, we're ready to retire, quite honestly. We'd like to retire from that. It's hard work. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. I taught martial arts for 16 and a half years. A lot of kids coming through. You know what? It's hard work. Hard work. You got to put effort and time into it. Well, I want the nation to be fixed. That's funny. You won't do anything at home. You don't want the nation fixed. You want a blessing from God. Get to work on your home. Get to work on your home. Thank you, Hannah Grace. Give me the camillary point. I know what you're doing. That's great. Dads, if we're not around, we can't do that. Moms, if you're not around, you can't do that. If you don't have any time to do it, God says, you're out of line. And if you don't lay down the law, moms and dads, you're going to have a home that's full of oppression, because just like the nation, God says you're oppressed because the women and children are running the thing. And we've turned our nation into individual homes that are being run by the children. And the parents should be running the children. It shouldn't be the other way around. And your mom isn't mean for doing it. She loves you enough to say, I make the laws, you obey them. So you learn to please God. So when you read something in the Bible and God says, okay, I got no problem doing it. I'll make one last point, we'll close out. I don't want my kid to go to war. And I would guess none of the mamas in here want your son or daughter growing up and going to war for our country. It'll be a bloody, war's bloody, it's bad. My concern is this. If we continue to just say nothing about this new apostolic reformation that's coming up in national politics, we're going to end up having a crop of young people that are convinced that they should go to war for their nation because this is what God wants them to do. And it wasn't like that before in our nation. They were fighting for love of country. But if you can get enough people together and convince the next generation of youth, hey, you're doing this for God. Well, who doesn't want to do something for God? Now, whether that happens or not, I don't know. I'm finishing out with a little bit of speculation and opinion. But I do know this. You can persuade a generation of young people who think they're Christians or at least want to be Christians or may be Christians and just got confused, hey, you're doing this for God.
I mean, hey, if they can convince amputees that they can grow new legs, I don't put it past them.
Right, right. So we're not here to take dominion over a nation. What we are here to do is witness to souls. And if we want a better nation, why don't we start with our address? Let's get our address right, and then maybe a neighbor will be affected by that. And maybe the church will be affected by that. And then maybe the community is affected by that. And then whether you're a politician, or you're a mechanic, or you're a plumber, or you're a car detailer, or you're a handyman, or no matter what your occupation is, if you're in civil service, great. But if you get your home right, you will govern, work, all that, you'll do it better. You'll do it right. Individual hearts, individual homes. Let's pray.